Take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are going to finish up between this teaching and Reverend McCable, and after the break. We're going to finish up 2 Timothy tonight. It's been really a privilege to teach this. For me personally, it's been a blessing to really go through this book again. I haven't done it in quite a while, and it's really been just awesome to look at these great books. Last night, in teaching, I felt like I was emphasizing, for a purpose, the intensity of the battle, the intensity of the battle of faith that we have. As we looked at some of these things in chapter 2, you know, we looked at being enduring as a soldier, not to be distracted like a soldier, strive as an athlete, work hard as a farmer, be disciplined and have integrity as a workman. I really believe, and I said this last night, that the battlefield of faith is in the mind. It's in your brain. It's between your two ears. It's between you and your relationship with God and your understanding of the Scriptures. And to that end, I do believe that each person needs to have a confidence and a conviction based on what your Lord requires and what you know is written in the Word. And I think that chapter really deals with an intense endurance that we are supposed to have. Now, it's important, I believe, in our walk that we don't take that extreme and then think that I need to be intense and with people. I do not take that at that at all. I believe just the opposite we should have with people. That intensity is in your mind to live for our Lord. When we have that, when we have a conviction and a confidence, then what we should emulate is peace in our life. And in chapter 2, verse 24, it says, and the servant, and this is that doulos, that how Reverend McCabe started 2 Timothy, talking about the doulos, the bond slave. And the bond slave of the Lord must not strive. The bond slave of the Lord must not strive. The word strive, it's regarding those that they fight. I believe in the context, it's much more than, it's not physical fight as much as those who engage in a war of words, those who engage in quarrels, wranglings, disputes, contention. The servant of the Lord, the doulos of the Lord, is not to be contentious. He's not to be one that has strife. We are to have an intense resolve within ourselves regarding our faith in the gospel. But in dealing with other people, we are not to strive. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Rather than having strife, the true doulos, if you want to be a servant of God, you need to be gentle. You need to be gentle. The word gentle, these are very interesting usage of words in here. It's epios. It means to appease. It's to be gentle, to be mild, affable. Settle down, calm down, quiet down. It's that gentleness with people. You know, there's only one other use of this, and it's in 1 Thessalonians. It's a beautiful picture. Paul talks about how he came into Thessalonica. He said, when I came there, I was gentle as a nursing mother with a child. I don't know if there's anything more peaceful, more gentle, more beautiful, and quiet and wonderful than a mother with a nursing baby. That is the way we're to be with people. And, you know, we talk about the intense thing of what's going around. There's a persecution around the church. Paul's in prison. Be strong in the Lord. Be steadfast. And when you deal with people, be gentle. Just be gentle. Just have a quietness about you. Just a quiet confidence of what is truth. Be gentle with all. Apt to teach. Patient. The word patient, it's another word that's uniquely used here in Timothy. It means to have patience in light of evil and wrongdoings that have been done to you. This would include physical wrongs that have been done to you. But I believe even much more in the context of Timothy, and in a very practical sense, we're talking about verbal attacks and word battles. You know, I don't think there's any Christian that when he, you know, believes in the Lord, that if someone hit him, that he should go around and start whacking that guy. Yeah, you hit me, you hit me. I'm going to whack you, and I'm going to whack you, and I'm going to, you know. Nobody would think that, that's really good behavior. Yet, it seems through the years that Christians have been so willing to be malicious towards other believers. Malicious. Evil. Go out and, you know, just slander other men's ministries, slander people, cause divisions, cause... The servant of the Lord does not do that. The servant of the Lord is patient. He doesn't feel like he has to get back. He just lets it go, moves on. The gospel message is what I'm about. That's the servant of the Lord, this doulos of the Lord. And then it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God prevent you, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The underlying influence that causes these things among people is the devil. It is indirectly, that is who causes the division and the strife. But people get caught up in it. And when someone's caught up in that, you being striving back, you reciprocating that kind of maliciousness, you reciprocating slander, you reciprocating anger, it doesn't really help. In fact, it festers. You can put in your notes Proverbs 18:19 and Proverbs 15:1. One of those verses says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. It'd be easier to take a castle than to try and reconcile with your brother once you offend him. It also says in one of those verses, a soft answer turneth away strife. A gentle spirit. That's the way we are to be. Conviction inside, absolutely. Steadfast upon the faith of the gospel, endurance, all that, yes. But when we deal with people, gentle, quiet. Just lay it out. Don't feel like you got to retaliate with words. Just let it go. That's the servant of the Lord. If you want to serve Christ in this day and time, in the time of any time, that's the way you need to be. Now, chapter 3. This know also, learn this also, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And as I had stated in an earlier session, I believe the last days started at Pentecost. I believe we are in the last days. And I believe we will be in the last days until Jesus Christ returns. One of the reasons I believe that, as you read through what we're going to read here, this has been going on This is what's been happening. Specifically, I believe it's in the church. But it's been happening all around the world. But within the church, this happens. In the last days, these things will happen. And it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. That's why I believe it's really talking about the believers. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Let me go through these slower with you and look at these things. Lover of their own selves. First thing listed. Love themselves, man. Love to talk about me. Love to think about me. Everything revolves around me. Things are really bad when things revolve around me. Because my mind is not where it should be. Lovers of self. Covetous. Covetous. Lovers of money. Money. They love money. They love the stuff. Boasters or boastful. Man, you should have seen God work. It's a real subtle one. You should have seen what he did. Yeah, okay. Boasting about things. Boastful. Proud. Proud here means arrogant. Arrogant. Blasphemers. These are slanderers, railings, revilings, slandering other people, speaking false words about other people, slandering people in order to get advantage to yourself. Slanderers. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. You know, just ungrateful, unthankful people. Unholy. Without natural affection. I believe that when you really work this, the natural affection, it's unloving toward humanity. Just, you don't love people. You don't care about people. Unloving toward humanity. Truce breakers. You know, this is what's interesting. Implacable, irreconcilable, unable to agree, uncaring and cold. You just, if you don't have it your way, then you ain't gonna deal with it. And you are not willing to reconcile with your brother. Rather than working to reconcile, you walk away. Now, I don't care what he believes. He's wrong anyways. That's this implacable. Just unwilling to reconcile. False accusers. You know what this word is? This is diabolos. The devil, the great accuser. And it really means malicious gossip. You know, this is malicious slander, where you go out of your way to accuse another brother, another person. Incontinent means no self-control. Just don't have any control of self. You're not temperate in anything. You have no control over your life. And just let things go. Fierce. This means savage. Brutal. Mean-spirited. Savage. Heady. Means rash or reckless. Reckless. High-minded means blinded with pride. Conceited. Such conceit, you don't even realize you're in it. Don't even realize that pride has crept in your heart and you are out in left field. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think that one says pretty well. You love pleasure more than you love God. These are the things that are going to happen in the last days. It's been my experience in life. We're in the last days. These things have just, they happen. And they have a form of godliness. In all these things, I believe the essence is you're talking about people, they think they're being godly. But this is what's going on in the hearts. Deny the power thereof, from such turn away. None of these things here are talking about doctrinal issues. They're talking about attitudes of heart. These things. And then it says, verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Silly women is harmless women. And I believe, and remember when John was talking about women and how women can affect a man and women can affect the church? You want to cause a problem in a church, get to the women. And I'm absolutely honest. If you can get the women to start gossiping, and you can get the women to start railing on their men, and get the women to start, you take out a church. They go into the houses and start laying out these things to the women. So you women, take heed to what was written in 1 Timothy. Then it says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They're talking. There's a lot of talking going on. They even have their Bibles. They're talking. But they're never able to come to the truth. The truth. Then it says in verse 8, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. You know, for years I wrestled with this. He's going all the way back to Moses. And I said, who's Jannes and Jambres? Every single commentary I ever read is talking about the magicians, you know, the one that did the serpent thing with Moses, as they withstood Moses. Why is he talking about these guys? What am I supposed to learn here about these boys? First, I want to read this to you from the New American Standard, because it says this really well. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8 from the New American Standard says, just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so do these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now I want you to think, okay, what happened? Now, if I had the time, I'd take you back to Exodus. Go back and read it for yourself, Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, and read about this, of what happened. Moses is told by God, he's going to do these things. He's going to show his might, and Pharaoh is going to reject him. Moses comes in, and he says, if Pharaoh asks you for a sign, Moses, throw down a rod. So he tells Aaron, throw down your rod. Rod becomes a snake. Jannes and Jambres are like, we can do that. I can do that. I'm a spiritual man, right? I'm a spiritual man. I got a God. I can do that. So they throw down their rods, and they become snakes. See that? Look what we did. Okay, but you didn't see that Moses, the snake, ate yours. But, hey, that ain't something special, Moses. All right? Now let me ask you a question before we go on. Were the gods of Egypt real gods? No. So in reality, what was Janice and Jambres? Where were they getting this to do this stuff? Were they following a god? What were they following? Following them? They're following their ideas. They're following themselves. They're making the stuff of their own brain. They're not following God. There is no God except the true God, and that true God's working with Moses. Right? Okay. Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let your people go. Moses takes his staff, sticks it in the water. The whole nation is filled with blood. Janice and Jambres. Moses making blood? Watch what our God can do. They take water, and somehow they use enchantments, and they turn it into blood. Ha, ha, ha! Big deal! We got plenty of blood! You know what I mean? We got blood. You know what would have been real smart? If you would have drank the water. You want to really impress me, Janice and Jambres? Turn the blood back into water. It really didn't do much. Oh, but man, did it look good. They looked the part. They were spiritual men. Look what we did. Yeah, you're. Who are you working for, Jan? I thought you were working for Egypt. You're working for Egypt and you're turning your water into blood? Are you beginning to see? This is a little stupid. Just like Janice and Jambres. This is really stupid what you're doing. Pharaoh still won't let his people go. So, you know what? Moses does his thing. The land brings forth frogs. They got frogs everywhere. They got frogs in the kitchen, frogs in the bathroom, frogs in the palace, frogs in the bedroom, frogs everywhere. Oh, Moses, Janice and Jambres. Watch this. They made frogs. Enchantments, they got frogs. You know what? Egypt didn't really need any more frogs. It's crazy. But that's what, do you see what I'm saying? That's what religion does. You think you're so wrong. You're supposed to be working for Egypt. If you want to do something, make some snakes to eat the frogs. You see the it's folly. It's just absolutely, it has a form of godliness, but it ain't nothing. It's just stupid. Then, lice. Dust turns into lice. These boys have lice. And you know what? They can't do anything now. When the boils hit, they got them all over their bodies and they can't even stand before Moses anymore. Their folly just became very evident. And anyone that gets caught up in this, where you got this godliness going on, you think you're living for God, you are standing for the truth. You are standing for the truth, and it's all a big show. It's all about me. It's all about these things that we read in these first few verses. Pride. All this stuff. And not about a genuine truth. You're missing the truth. Isn't that a great example? I mean, I was just think that's so cool. It just to me, it's like, and I've seen just the ridiculous stuff that people do in the name of religion. In the name of my God, look what I'm doing. And it's just folly. It's just, looks good maybe, but when you really step back and look at it, it's ridiculous. And that's what this is with Janice and Jambres. Just like they did that, well, you know what? That's why you don't have to strive with people that want to strive, because it's all going to come out in the wash. All folly is going to come out. So, just move on. The gospel is at stake. The kingdom of God is coming. And let's just keep moving with that gentle, meek spirit. And then, it says, in verse 9, or verse 10, "But thou, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, patience, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions." He said, "You know what I've endured, Timothy. You followed me." And then it says, "which came unto me at Antioch." The words "which came" are better understood as "such as." You know about what I've been through, Timothy, how I've behaved myself, how I've lived my life. You've observed me. Like, remember, Timothy? And then he says, "such as came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." And I'd like to take the time to go back and look at what happened at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. Now, if you remember, when we started this book of Timothy, it was very possibly, and especially since the reference is here, that it's at this time that Timothy first had his witness of the gospel message. And Paul's referring back to that. When he was a very young man, this is when Timothy became a disciple. Acts chapter, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. This is in Antioch. And in verse 14, it says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." So where did they go? The synagogue, right? They went to the synagogue. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent out to them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand," and you have really, this is the first real proclamation of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It's the first, the first public teaching that's recorded, is what I should say. First teaching that's recorded of the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to study the teaching, it's a great teaching though. It really puts together the kingdom of God, the Messiah being raised from the dead, and just is dynamite understanding. But look at verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Now, I want to show you something here. Because for years, I couldn't figure this out. He's talking to Jews. He's in the synagogue, he's talking to Jews, and I thought, what are the Gentiles like hanging out in the windows looking in? I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. The word Gentile is not in the text. Gentiles don't come in this thing until after the Jews reject. It has a whole different understanding in my mind when you understand this. Because let's follow this with me, you'll see. Acts 13, and I'll read from the New American Standard Version, and you can follow along, I'll give you the verses. Acts 13, verse 42. "And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging them that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath." Who was begging him? The Jews, not the Gentiles. the Judeans, Paul was teaching them from the law and prophets of Moses, showing them that Jesus was the Christ. And the Jews are saying, man, this is really cool. The Messiah's here. This is great. The people are begging him, would you come back next week? They don't have a problem with the doctrine, do they? They're really into it. The Messiah has come. The Jews are saying, hey, come back next week. This is great. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 43. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes, those are people that had converted to Judaism, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. These Jews came along and they said, Paul, man, this is great. Keep going, man. The Messiah's come and you're convincing us. People need to hear this. Go out there, Paul. Go out. And the Jews are saying this. They didn't have a problem with the doctrine. It made sense. The truth made sense. It was simply declared and it made sense. Well, good. Praise God. Verse 44, a week later, man, things are going now. Everybody's excited. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. All these people, everybody went home and started talking. Man, you should hear. The Messiah is here. Can you see it? If you're a Jew and you convince the synagogues of Jews that the Messiah has come, the Jews are going, you guys, the Messiah is here. You should hear what this guy Paul said. It really makes a lot of sense. He's telling us the Messiah's come. We got to go check this out. The whole city, they get everybody around. They all come here because the Messiah's come and Paul's preaching the truth about it. The city comes together. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with what? Envy. Jealousy. Envy. They began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. These people that the week before, they were encouraging, go get them, Paul. They come back a week later and they get filled with envy. These things that we just read in Timothy, those things that take people out. And now, suddenly, he's teaching false doctrine. And the thing started whispering around, and the Jews, now this persecution begins to follow Paul. Then Paul says, fine, we're going to the Gentiles. And in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was beginning to spread through the whole region. But the Jews, these Jews of Antioch, incited the devout women. Who'd they incite first listed here? The women. They incited the women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook the feet off and walked on. Verse 14. In Iconium, then they come to Iconium. In Iconium, they entered into the synagogue of Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. Now they're getting the idea that we go to the Gentiles too. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore they spent a long time speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the apostles and some with the Jews. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of this, and they fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding areas, the region where the young man Timothy was, whose mother was a Jew, whose father was a Greek. And at Lystra, a man was sitting and had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The man listening to Paul as he spake, who when he had fixed him, gazed on him, and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, stand up upon your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. Wow! This is quite a gospel message. When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down like men and have come down to us." And they began to call Barnabas Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. They were making them gods. And when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard it, they tore their robes and rushed out to the crowd, saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? What are you doing, you guys? You're missing the point here. We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things and serve the living God." Don't continue in this idolatry. Serve the living God, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. In the generations gone by, he permitted all nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not himself leave himself without witness, and that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with good and gladdings. Goodness, food, and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. But, verse 19, Jews from Antioch and Iconium, having won over the crowds, these guys were really good at this instigating. Having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. I mean, things are moving. They get a guy healed. They want to make him gods. They say, "Don't make us gods." The Jews come along, cause all the people to stone this man. You know, they pick up rocks and they throw them at him. He's no longer breathing. He no longer has a pulse. He's bloody. He's beaten. They drag the man and they throw him outside of the city. All the disciples, they're there. This is the man. This is the one that's preaching this gospel message. The disciples in here, some of the disciples, one of them may have been Timothy. Young little kid. Young teenager. Here's this, thought this news was great, and here's the guy that's bringing it, good for dead. And all of a sudden, a hand moves. Hey, maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's got life in him. Could you see it? I mean, the guy gets up. I'm sure he's still hurt, right? I'm sure things, maybe a few people grabbed him and helped him up. Can you imagine what happened in the heart of those disciples? Man, look at this guy. Let's go back into the city. Back to Timothy. Timothy, remember. Remember Iconium, Lystra, Antioch. Remember what happened there. How they threw me out to be as good for dead. But God didn't let, wasn't my time yet, Timothy. God didn't let it happen. And I got up. Praise God. I got up. 2 Timothy. He said, you remember, verse 10, you know fully my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He saw this man didn't get up and get bitter. He saw this man didn't get up and start accusing. He saw this man just got up and just went, continued on. This man didn't go attacking everybody. Didn't start making verbal things to, he just moved on. He says, you know this, Peter. You know my manner of life, Timothy. Persecutions, afflictions which came at me at Antioch, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Verse 10, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. You don't have to go out looking for it. You just go out and preach the gospel. You go out and live, and the persecutions will come. You don't have to, try and invent it. It'll happen. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But there's going to be more evil men, Timothy, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Verse 15, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Be assured of what you know. Be assured of the holy scriptures. Timothy, be assured of this word of God. It makes you wise to salvation. It's what shows us the truth. Be assured of this word of God. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, Timothy, all scripture is from God. This is the word of God. It is God's word, Timothy. It's the word of God. And it is for doctrine. This tells you what you need to believe. This tells you what you need to have faith in. This gives you the truth about salvation. This gives you what you need for your faith. And it's for reproof. It reproves us when you have wrong behavior. This word of God tells you what's wrong. It shows you what's wrong. It shows you what's right. It reproves you. The scriptures, they're for correction. They show you how to correct the error in your life. They show you how to get back on track. Oh, Timothy, this is what makes you wise unto salvation. This scripture is given for instruction in righteousness. This shows you how to live right. Remember he said earlier, I'm bound, but the word of God is not bound. So Timothy, you have the scripture. Paul's about to die. But Timothy, you got the scripture. You got the scripture. This tells you everything you need. Gives you everything you need. You got this, you got everything. The scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's given in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect is the Greek word artios. The Greek word, the words thoroughly, truly furnished is the Greek word exartizo. They're both really the same word. And it can be, you're equipped. The word of God, the scriptures make you equipped. Fully equipped. Unto all good works. These words, exartizo, one of their usages are nautical terms. Like a ship. Like a ship ready for its voyage. It's lacking nothing. It's got everything on it. It's got the lifeboats. It's got the sails. It's got everything you need. A seaworthy vessel, all ready with its cargo and everything on it. This word of God makes you equipped. Fully equipped for the voyage of faith. Fully equipped on your journey. So that, as we read in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, you don't have to be shipwrecked. You don't have to swerve off course. You have this word of God to fully equip your life. To continue on in the ministry. You know, sometimes when I was a young believer, someone once asked me, what would you do if everybody that you know, that you respect, quit? or if everybody that you knew died and you were all that was left, what would you do? And they took me to that verse. Said, you're equipped. You're equipped by this, by Scripture, by the Word of God, to continue this voyage of faith. And then this great chapter, this great book, this great letter to Timothy closes with some closing admonition to this young man, and we'll take a look at that after a 15-minute break.